Not a test. This is your emergency broadcast system announcing the commencement of the annual purge.
Would you hear that sound? You're in the Purge Pod. Welcome back to another episode of the Purge Pod. A special episode this go around, Johnny. We're not going to do a movie. Sorry for all you avid Purge Pod listeners. We're not going to do a movie on this one. Johnny, explain what we're going to be doing.
So we have a introduction. Maybe a precursor. This is going to be a little bit of a learning pod this time, where it's going to be a new segment we're starting, which is Meet Your Purge Members. And today's guest is a Floridian who is now a New Yorker and our friend, Mr. Joe. Welcome to the pod.
Guys, thanks for having me on. This is exciting.
I've never been more nervous about being outnumbered by two Floridians in one place, albeit you guys are from very different parts of Florida.
It doesn't matter.
About as far away as you guys can be.
That's usually the precursor to two 40-year-old Floridian men murder man from Mexico City is the headline that's happening.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Two Florida men murder Mexican. That actually probably is a headline that's happened. Two Florida men murder Mexican.
Yes.
Yes. I don't think there's a headline we could not find. You could throw out any scenario of two Floridian men.
Joe, where
Floridian
are you
men.
From? Yeah, it's two Florida men. It's two Florida men. Not Floridian. No, that's too sophisticated.
Yeah.
So you're from which part of Florida?
I'm from the redneck part of Florida. I'm from Jacksonville, Florida, which is northeast Florida, or as a lot of people like to call it, southern Georgia. I lived quite literally a 45-minute drive from the Florida-Georgia border. So yeah, like when I came to New York 20 years ago this year, having to explain to people like in college and Northerners, New Yorkers, yeah, I'm from Florida, but not the part that you like, is a really annoying conversation to have over and over again.
And so let's go into your sports background fandom, because you were the first Jags fan I've ever met.
Yes. Awesome.
We went to a game last year. Ton of fun. Not great for the Jags fans. Great for the Niners, but brutal. Awesome fun. Great people. And then you root for the Yankees. You're a Yankees fan.
I am now. Yeah.
And you're a Knicks fan. And you're a Knicks fan. And a Rangers fan.
Ranger. Yeah. Knicks are like New Yorkers love the like this city is a Knicks city. I like the Knicks. I don't love the Knicks. Like the Rangers, though, I got into the Rangers like over a decade ago because I have a really good friend who's from here who's just a rabid Rangers fan. And so that kind of wore off on me. The Knicks run this year, though, was like a blast. The city, it's like a different place when the Knicks are good at basketball.
I feel like finding a Jags fan is the same thing as finding a Nets fan in New York. I feel like that's the same equivalent. No one's a Nets fan.
I think you're right. I think I've met more Jags fans in New York than I have Knicks fans.
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement.
So how do you explain to us how you didn't become a Braves fan?
Yeah. Oh, dude, fuck the Braves. No, fuck the Braves.
It's not a thing in Florida.
It like when you grow up in Jacksonville, you're 6 hours from Atlanta and you're 5 hours from Miami, right? Like when I was the Marlins came in 1993. So your team, if you were from Florida, it made sense to be a Braves fan in a lot of ways because they were right there. They're in Georgia. They're the closest thing you had, right? Florida, the state of Florida only had spring training until 1993. They didn't have a real team. And of course, dude, the Braves were fucking awesome in the 90s. It made sense to be a Braves fan. But I was the guy who hated the Braves. I thought the Braves... Braves fans still drive me up a wall. I chose
one
to
of
be
the worst
Marlins
fan bases by far. Braves fans are really annoying fans.
They're awful. My brother-in-law is a massive Braves fan, like legit. And like a lot of Braves fans I don't like because they don't actually know baseball. And they're just like, yeah, the Braves. And we've got Spencer Strider. And then they forget like any other player. Yeah. My brother-in-law is a legit fan. He knows the numbers. But yeah, otherwise they're just, yeah. And like in the 90s, they wouldn't shut up. They're like Red Sox fans in that regard. They're just like, yeah, I'm a Red Sox fan.
And everyone's like,
God, yeah. So shut the fuck up. That's more than you wanted to know. But yeah, the Braves were awesome. And they were the team that pretty much the only team you had that was the quote unquote, like the regional baseball club.
So I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Being a Marlins fan is rough, but it does bring – they were corrupt in Miami, being in Miami.
Yeah,
so
right.
Every now and then, they just buy a World Series. I think they won two, and one in the 90s and one in the early 2000s, and everyone was okay with that. They're like, we're good with one a decade, and you just buy a team? We can do that. Sure.
Yeah, the 97 team totally bought and paid for.
Yeah. By a 2001 or 2 team when they bought like Pudge. Yeah. They bought everybody. You're like, okay, this is great.
Yeah, and then, of course, had 20-year-old Miguel Cabrera.
Right, right. They always had some Colombian Josh or Cuban Beckett. Guy one's ever heard of that's probably 3 years older than his birth certificate that the MLB has says. He's like an 18-year-old that just starts smoking balls. You're like, oh, okay, this is great. Edgar Renteria was one of those guys.
Yeah.
Miguel Cabrera is one of those guys. It's just crazy.
That 03 team had Uguez Urbina on it.
So good.
Paul Olerud's on one of those squads. What is happening here? Like, it's a mixture of guys that are 38 that still play good defense and young 20 Colombians that hit the ball 400 yards.
What rank your most hated teams? Give us sort of like your top three or four, if you can do five, whatever.
Okay.
Across sports.
Like across sports. Yeah. Number one is the Boston Red Sox. That entire franchise and fan base can politely, actually unpolitely go fuck themselves. I hate that. I hate that team so much. Number two, probably the Braves. I really hate the Braves. And then, I don't know, like after that, you're like, there's just teams I dislike. I hate UNC, even though I was never an ACC fan, but I just hate UNC and the Titans. Jags fans just hate the Tennessee Titans, largely because the 99 team that went 14-2 actually went 15-3 because they crushed Miami in the playoffs, and then they lost the AFC Championship game at home to the Titans. Their three losses were all to the Titans.
Yep.
And like that's just, it doesn't matter who you talk to as a Jags fan, that just for the rest of their lives, they're like,
That's Mark Brunell to this point is still pissed off.
Yeah. that and all of his bad investments in Whataburger. He did that. He invested in a bunch of Whataburger franchises around Jacksonville.
Yeah. Would you say he's the Magic Johnson of Jacksonville, Mark Brunell?
I'm not going there. I don't know what Mark Brunell stands for. Mark Brunell is probably the closest to a guy who can have the keys to the city. Like
this is the most Mark Brunell's name has been mentioned in consecutive seconds, probably in the last 2 decades. So.
Yeah, no doubt.
He's not even good on TV. He's a quarterback's coach somewhere now, I think. I think he's off TV. He's a quarterback's coach. Look, 100%.
Maybe.
Florida International Atlantic.
All right, Joe, what I want to get into next is let's talk about how you got invited into the league and like how you became a part of this. And then we can talk about what it's been like since you've joined. So let's go into the story of how you got invited into the league. And we'll start with that story.
You, TJ, were in town February of 23. And you brought your friend, who I had never heard of in my life, Forrest, out to slam some beers and eat some pizza. And when we were at Blue Haven, which anybody who's been to New York at some point has probably been to Blue Haven. It's a sports bar in Greenwich Village. And you guys just started talking about fantasy sports. I don't remember why you were talking about it, but
it's all we talk about.
I guess it was right before baseball season, and Forrest might have been interested in trying to have somebody help manage his baseball team. And anyway, you guys were like, oh, yeah, let's tell Joe about our fantasy league. And I asked a bunch of questions, Johnny, because it's my job. I just ask questions. And
sure.
I thought, I was like, wait, you guys have a league where it's fantasy baseball, basketball, and football all season, and that's the league. That's the coolest fucking thing I've heard. And TJ and Forrest are like, yeah, it is pretty cool. We've been doing it forever. I remember telling a bunch of people the next week about this league, and everybody yep. was like, that is insane and rad.
Yeah.
And then basically I was like, yeah, I've been in a fantasy baseball league since 1995 that my dad and my uncle and my other uncle started in 1989, when my uncle was literally going through the daily newspaper, physical newspaper box scores and tallying up the numbers, which is how all these old school yeah. like Roto League guys started. And it's a deep keeper leap. So the big draft is actually you draft minor leaguers. There's not really a major league draft because all the major leaguers have been taken okay. years yeah. ago. Yeah. Like the best trade I made in that league was in 2015 when I traded I traded Orlando Arcia, who was then a prospect in the Royals organization, and the then catcher prospect for the Red Sox, to another guy in the league who was a Red Sox fan, who traded me a guy in return by the name of Aaron Judge. And a year later, Aaron Judge is cranking homers at Yankee Stadium. Yeah. And so, yeah, I was like telling the guys about this, and they're like, okay, we've got this league. Forrest is interested in having someone manage baseball. And I said, it's a little different than I'm used to. And I've tried to stay out of fantasy baseball leagues to just only focus on one. And I said, but this one sounds awesome. I'd be happy to like.
And here we are.
It's a very common thing. One, that the Purge members are out talking about this, right? If you run into anyone who likes fantasy sports and they start bragging about your league, it's like a ace in your pocket. Oh yeah, you have a cool league? Okay, hold on. Let's tell you about this league. You're like, yesterday, Mike Trout got traded for Patrick Mahomes. What the fuck are you talking about? You're like, that's the league, right? And from there, it's just kept going. And the nuance behind how difficult this league gets. And I want to get into some rule stuff with you later, because sometimes most of our interactions so far, Joe, have been, why does this fucking rule exist? Yeah. There's yeah. bad actors, right? And we have 10 years of bad actors because of the nuance of this league cheating within the lines, right? So it's great to hear, though, that a decade later, this is still something that people who really care about fantasy sports are like, holy shit, you guys do what? And yeah. TJ and Forrest and I specifically for years have talked about, if we didn't have jobs and wanted to come up with a cool website to make this mainstream, it's not for everybody, but there's a niche of fantasy players there that would be like, I absolutely want a full service that could do this for me and my 10 friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it doesn't feel like daily fantasy sports type of thing.
Yeah.
Right. It is as involved as that type of thing, which I think yeah. is why I made that comparison, but it does not feel that way at all.
It's not the, I'm trying to build a lineup to beat you today. I think it's the main reason we score the way we do. We want this to be a NASCAR style, golf yeah. style. You want the points for the end of the year to be the best. You win a league, that's great. Here's your money back for playing, but you want to be really good across the board. And that's what makes this a little different.
The one thing I want to share is that yeah. the one thing that I think that sold Joe about that, or sold Forrest about that night, was one, he hung out with Forrest, who had never met before. Like, we all know how Forrest is, and you're meeting this guy and you're like, I don't know if like we're best friends, or you're like, you're forcing me to be your friend. It's like both. And Joe, you mentioned that league, that league that's been going on for a while, but tell him about the other league that you did with the sports writers. That league, that was the league. That was a league that yeah, go ahead.
Oh yeah. One sec, I got...
Baby.
Hold on, I got to turn on some air conditioning here.
And that's all good.
Thank you. Yeah, sorry about that. Sorry, Paul Doe's in town. And
oh, okay, afterwards I had to say hi to Paul.
Keeping him cool.
So the story was, like, this is what sold, what you're about to say sold Forrest on doing whatever he can to have you be a partner. So go ahead and explain this league really quick.
So, yeah, 7 years ago, 8 years ago, I got pulled into a league with a bunch of sports reporters. So I'm a reporter, but I cover the financial industry. I cover business news. But one of the guys I work with, huge baseball fan, was like, do you want to join a completely made up fantasy baseball league where you run an entire baseball organization, but none of the players are real. The whole thing is just like a simulated thing. So I lay it out. I was like, what do you mean? He's okay. So you have a major league baseball team, a roster of whatever 20 man or 22 man, I can't, sorry, 26 man, whatever the actual number is. Sorry guys.
Sure.
And then you also keep a 40 man roster. In addition to that, you have a AAA team, a AA team, a high A low A, and a rookie ball team. And there's 162 games scheduled for the major league team, and all the rookie ball has a 100 whatever game schedule as well. And a computer generates fake players with attributes, and twice a day, I think, at 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock, the computer sims like a baseball game, just completely made up. And it bases it off of, okay, you've got here's your roster. Here's how it would match up against this other guy's roster. And it generates scores. Yeah.
You guys played simulated fantasy RBI baseball, like NES 1997, and just said, here's your roster. This guy's a 90 in power, 53 in contact, and he's got some speed. And you have to pick lefty-righty matchups and all that kind of stuff.
Correct. And
wow,
you
awesome.
Correct. And awesome. You hire fake managers, fake every level, not just the major league team. It has a manager, a bench coach, a hitting coach, a pitching coach.
That have attributes associated with helping them get out of tough situations or.
Exactly. And right. If you do not, like if say, and there's a draft, of course, every year.
Of course.
And you're like top prospects. If you don't bring them along correctly, they won't actually get good. So if you forget to promote him from single A to double A, he won't actually improve. Right.
His confidence gets shot and he's now worthless.
Yeah. There is the one catch was it does have a salary cap, right? Which is not like real baseball. So you do have to negotiate. And yeah, you have to negotiate contracts and everything like that with these fake players. And you'll quite literally negotiate a contract. Like I had a co-owner at one point, it was just too much. And I called a good buddy of mine. I said, Chen, can you like help me manage this team? He's that sounds fucking awesome. Let's do it. Yeah. And I'd call him and be like, okay, I think this is the offer we should make this first baseman who's off contract.
Who's also
not real. We'd send the offer to his agent, click the submit a message. And an hour later, cause you had to wait an hour, it would get back to you and be like, that's not enough. Or, yeah, we'll take it, or we're going to move on to another team.
The rage-inducing Tuesday night, 11 p.m. text from a fake baseball player telling you to fuck your offer. I can imagine the phone calls.
Dude, I cannot tell you what it is. To feel dejected about being told that a fake player doesn't want to be in your team is like an actual emotion
so,
I've gone through.
I know somewhere Rob is listening to this, and Rob is going, Oh, and Rob, whenever Joe, I'm still committed to trying to get you to come to San Diego, but like you are going to, this is going to be a topic of conversation when you meet Rob 100%. The other thing I want to say that sold Forrest on Joe being his partner is that night we ended up staying out till 4 a.m. We did call you multiple drinks.
You guys called me.
And we end up in a bar where it's just us three and I'm trying to speak Spanish to this guy who's from like Ecuador, who's the bartender, and he's just like, dude, we're in New York, you can speak fucking English
that's
to me.
Right.
And I'm just like speaking, he goes, okay, this guy really wants to speak Spanish, so I'm speaking Spanish to this guy. And then we're just like drinking, and there's like a DJ, but it's just us three in this like fucking dark bar, and this guy comes in, this tall black guy wearing a trench coat, and he starts chatting us up and was like, what do you guys do, whatever. And we're telling him, like, I have my own business. He goes, yeah, I have my own business too. It was like, oh, I can't even remember, it was like whatever XYZ. I'm like, oh, that's cool. How's it going? He goes, not good. I got kicked out of it because I was embezzling money from my gambling habit. And I was like, oh, he goes, yeah. Do you want to do some coke in the bathroom? I was like, no, I don't. No, I don't.
I don't want to be anywhere alone. People can't hear me scream with you right now, sir.
And I think at one point he ended up like crying on our shoulders.
Another night, Joe. That was like my top three most drunk I'd ever been. And that was like a year ago. Which was not great.
Oh
not
yeah,
great showing by my hand was lost. And
that's right.
not a great time in life, TJ, to have your top three most drunk moments ever in your mid to late 30s. Yeah, it's not a great time to do that.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, not a great time.
So one of the things that I want to talk about, Joe, is like what? Okay, so what was your thought coming in? You thought it was cool, but what was it like first joining? Like you were late to join the text thread. That's a big part of it. Do you want to discuss like the approach to baseball, to what it is, to what you've learned now, and just like being a part of this social group? Because you still haven't met everybody yet.
Yeah. So I think maybe the way to answer the question is you were in town like 2 months ago, 3 months ago. This is my wife, Marissa. You were in town like 3 months ago, and I was telling you and Forrest how I was like, the thing that makes this league work so well, especially in the fantasy baseball side, is you cannot, because there's basically no bench, you can't be precious with all of your players. And I think that was the thing that I had to learn on the fly. And I know it's by design. Like I've talked to a lot of people about the league and they'll be like, oh, how many bench spots do you have? And I'm like, basically none. Okay, two. But yeah, you have to be a fish. You got to keep moving. Like if Justin Turner, this happened recently, like Justin Turner was batting 320 to start the season. And then he came back down to earth and went like 0 for 12 or 0 for 15. And you just got to be like, all right, fuck you, Justin Turner. You're off the team. And it's probably the main element that makes this league really different from most other fantasy leagues you'll be in.
It made it, and to your exact point, it is absolutely by design to keep you. Oh, we lost TJ, which means is the recording still happening? We don't know, but it absolutely is by design because of that fact, right? We want you to be engaged and not then also be able to sit a guy in that bench role for a month, 2 months, maybe he comes back and you have that bench. And it very unique to baseball because no other baseball league goes this thin. Maybe deeper roto leagues you might, because you have so many people in it, but it's that was definitely the point to put that pressure on you to stay engaged. And you can't hoard a prospect and let him sit on your bench while he figures out baseball for the first 2 months.
Yeah,
you got it. You want Jackson Churio right now? He's playing in Zach's roster. And you're dealing with 220, 230 while he figures it out, right?
Yeah, because again, in the deep keeper that we have in my family league, like I have Bobby Witt Jr., Ellie De La Cruz, Juan Soto, and I drafted all
you're
these
in
guys.
First then, correct.
I've won three the past four seasons.
Right, okay.
And currently I've lost two games. I mean, I was able to let Ellie De La Cruz just sit on my bench all season last year. And then now I was like, great. I have Ellie De La Cruz. He started out great. But yeah, that is absolutely not a possible thing to do in this league. You can't just like hoard guys.
Right. Yeah. This year has been an exception because what's funny is we have more IL spots than bench spots.
Yeah.
So it was one of the advantages this year of the massive amount of injuries that occurred is that you had a little bit more hoarding allowed where you saw guys like Wyatt Langford is a perfect example of a guy who might have been a drop candidate if you had to keep him on, but the bench part and the injury part finally kept him on rosters. Yeah, I wanted to bring that part too. So a lot of talk this year about how many injuries. Has that affected you at all in your kind of strategy this year on – obviously you had Garrett Cole to start the season off, right? Yeah. Massive. But how's that been for you this year on the injury front?
Yeah, I'm just pulling it up again. Yeah, because Zach Eflin went on the 15-day IL a couple weeks ago. Phillips, the Dodgers closer, should be back maybe tonight, but he's a good closer. And then the Garrett Cole thing. Yeah, it forced me, because Forrest knows this better than I do because he's been in the league for longer. It's just I got thrown into the fire right from the get-go of what I had talked to TJ and Forrest 2 months earlier about,
sure.
Where I'm like, you can't be precious. And I just had to be, okay, all right, who are we going to take a chance on? I'm trying to remember, like I've had Bassett on my roster three times now. I think TJ had him at one point. And yeah, it's sink or swim. When a guy goes in the IL, like you don't have time to cry about it. You got to move. And you can't plug him. Nobody's going to match Garrett Cole
right
now, but if you catch a guy in a hot streak, you can maybe get some decent numbers that Cole could get you over the course of a year. But
to your real job, that's kind of like timing the market. If you're going to it's very difficult to do. You usually see the guy go off for 2 weeks, you buy in, then it plummets from there.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah, no, Cole's almost back for you, isn't he?
Yeah, he's supposed to be back in June. Rehabbing, first rehab start is Tuesday.
It's dangerous for the league. The Pizza Cowboys getting back, arguably the top pitcher in the league.
We'll see what he's like, though, right? These pitchers, man,
this year, tough. He's been brutal.
I'm back here, boys. I lost technical difficulties. Hopefully, didn't lose all of that. What did you think of your draft going in this year? What was the approach that you had with Forrest? I know Johnny gave you a little bit of criticism in our post draft, I don't even know what, because you kept three Yankees. One of them ended up being Cole. He got hurt right before the season, which you just talked about.
Yeah.
What was your thought process going into the year?
I said to Forrest, it was nice that Forrest left everything in my hands last year, but I needed a little bit of someone to push back on certain things. Hey man, if you think we're paying too much for a guy, or if you just don't like him, just tell me that, right? Like, I'm not going to take offense by it. So I think that was a big thing, was just Forrest communicated, not fully saying Joe will do everything, right? Forrest being like, okay, like, I actually don't like this decision, or I think you should go after this, right? So I think finding a little more value in the draft was the big focus.
Not that the Yahoo ratings and levels overall mean anything, but Forrest has never been in silver status in fantasy baseball until you were his partner. It used to be a thing I would constantly reference. You guys are just into silver status, which has nothing to do with Forrest. I think that's why he takes a back seat with you, because he would have probably won a lot more parliament championships if he understood baseball better. It's what made this league fun, too, because we were all good at one sport, and most primarily were football, right? But you had some baseball savants, you had some basketball savants, and Forrest was very good at basketball and football, but so bad at baseball. And it's the first sport. He was always playing from behind year round on the standings.
Yeah, we had a 30-minute phone call two weekends ago about a trade. What about this trade? And I just sat there running through FanGraphs, Baseball Prospectus, all the other, just here are the raw numbers, and I've given you the whole suite of information. You make a call.
I want to challenge all the wives of Purge members listening to that last statement that none of you have been as happy as Joe and Forrest were on a 30-minute conversation about fantasy sports with any of your friends in the past decade on a phone call. Not possible. This is what it is to be a guy. That is what the joy comes from, and completely made up stuff that we do. So that's phenomenal.
What's your thoughts about the text chain, Joe?
Oh, God.
It's a lot. And I'm in some group chats that are a lot, but I think part of it is I also don't know all the cast of characters. So there's a lot of inside things that you guys have from 30 years. Right. And it flies over my head half the time.
It's a sitcom. We are sitcom characters of each other. We're not even the real people that we were initially before this started. We are a sitcom cast.
In the sitcom, sometimes I'm just the audience.
Yeah.
Right? It's just wow, this is wild. Half the time I'm texting TJ and Forrest. I'm like, what is this about?
and sometimes we don't know either. We have no idea what it's about. Just the rants themselves, but we're happy you're into it. Okay. I guess the last thing I have for you, Joe, before I pass over to Johnny is how do we get you to San Diego, man? How do we get you to San Diego? How do we get you there? We have almost a full, out of the 16 members, I think we have 14 and a half committed. One of them is one of them's a wild card.
It's not
card.
Nice to call Brad a half.
And one of them's a wild card that he says he'll be there, but he could show up and we'd be like, yep, that checks out, or he won't be there. Yep, checks out.
Beetlejuice Musser?
Yes, exactly. So how do we get you
I
there?
I don't know. Some things some luck might have to fall in my direction. Hmm. Right now, any of you guys who have kids know I'm learning this now because I just had my first kid 6 weeks ago, but I'm quite literally living day to day trying to figure it out.
Fair.
But I don't know, maybe in a month I'll have a better idea of what my August will look like.
We would love to have you there. Johnny, any parting words for Joe?
No, man, this was great. It's a pleasure to meet you. And I think putting faces to the cast of characters really cements how truly special that that text chat is. There's always those Instagram memes about, oh, if the boys chat got leaked, I'm pretty sure we would all be institutionalized immediately if someone saw this text thread. But yeah, no, man, it's great to meet you. I think getting you out there to meet everybody else is... Greg did that very early on, new member as well, roughly the same timeline you came on. And I think immediately afterwards, he felt more comfortable because you put faces to people and you build some rapport. Yeah. So
you can understand who's bullshitting, who's not. Like in the, because texts, yeah. His texts are just like tonality. And then you get to meet Brad, who's, yeah. Let's be honest, the biggest perpetrator of
and
the
you
text.
Understand a lot more. You're like, yeah. Oh, I need to not ever be as mad as I am.
When TJ and Forrest came to Jacksonville for the Jags 49ers game, I think half of the conversations were me being like, explain this person to me, explain this guy or that guy. And why do they say that? And why do they say this? So yeah, meeting people face to face. I'm in a profession where I have to meet people face to face, but at some point I'm going to meet everybody. And you guys, this league is amazing. Awesome. You guys have done an awesome job. And it is one of those things I do find myself bragging about to people who've never heard of any of you or the league. And they almost 100% of the time, almost 100% are like, that's incredible. And there's a lot of work, I know, behind the scenes to make it work. It's a nice work you guys
we
know
are
else.
So toned yeah, down now.
Johnny is the architect. 20s. Johnny is the architect. He is the guy from the Matrix fucking watching fucking
the Wizard
Bunker.
Of Oz. I am behind the curtain, never leaving my seat and just typing shit into a computer. No, man, like in the 20s, I think you would have found it better. We're still struggling with some pieces to make the part that's falling off a little bit. Although I think TJ and Josh are going to set the record straight on this draft. People think this planning a thing and coordinating people is not a sufficient punishment. And my hope is this starts a one-upsmanship among us, right? Now we're a little bit older. We have a little bit more creativity. Like, we're not in our 20s anymore. We're going to go sit in a room with a bunch of 17-year-olds blacked out and take the SATs. Hilarious. But now we all have kids. And also, if someone recognizes you as, dude, why are you here with – you're 40 now. Why are you here with kids? It's a little – we've skirted the range. But I think a little one-upsmanship is going to happen. I have no idea what TJ and Josh have had planned for this. But I know them both. They're both very competitive individuals. And there's only two ways that goes. They either plan the worst fucking miserable trip we could possibly go on, or they're trying to set a bar so high that they get to talk shit for the rest of this purge. So we're going to see.
Actually, before we go, really quickly, Joe, how do we fix baseball net wins for future ones? This is a big topic. We should have gotten into this earlier. This might make us go for another 15. Johnny, if you have it.
Let me pull up the text because we had this conversation looks like
about a month ago.
About a month ago. And I came in strong where I just said, full disclosure, Johnny, I've been expressing to TJ and Forrest that net wins, quote, is the single dumbest fantasy rules decision I've ever seen in a league.
I literally texted TJ, your boy's coming in hot.
Yes. To which you responded, go on.
So we had talked about it, and I want you to start where we are, because there's been a development where I think I'm changing my mind, and then another one's coming forward. So give the suggestion after we debated for a good hour, maybe 30 minutes. Where do we land?
The innings cap, right? We talked about innings. I think I said you just get rid of net wins and make the stat
innings pitched. Or batters faced or something.
Yeah, I think it was innings pitched because hold on, I'm pulling all the thing. The innings pitched, it sounds on the face of it sounds ridiculous, right? Because oh, we're just stacking up, but ultimately it means that you're keeping pitchers, you're trusting pitchers to go long.
I think that's why you went batters faced, I think, because then if you're at 5.0, and you're still, but your coach is keeping you in the game, bases loaded now in the fifth, but they're keeping you in, was where you're like, look, they're trusting you to go further. So you're seeing more batters, right? So one scenario that
we were watching
Skeens versus the Cubbies, and he's murdering them. But they're leaving in, I can't remember who was in. It wasn't Assad.
It was Kendricks.
And he's getting crushed. And we're like, look, this is the only problem with batter's face. They're down 9-1 in the fifth inning. And they're like, we're not going to waste our bullpen. So it wasn't that they trusted this guy. It was let him go because we're already dead. Get him some more hits. And the worry there is you could still stream to an extent So then I think it was DiMaggio came forward and said, what if we added back in K through nine? I'm like, isn't that just correlated to K's? He's like, yes and no. You can't stream, typically, you can't stream a very good high K through nine guy, right? You could go for some a high K through nine guy, but his ER and whip might suck if he's a starter. But then TJ chimes in and goes, oh, but you get a lot of relievers on teams now that are super high K through nine, will help you in ER and whip. They're not going to help your Ks at all. They're going to get you maybe a K or two, but not seven. They're probably not going to help you in net wins too much. And then we came back to, if we added K through nine, got rid of net wins, that's one option. What if we did K through nine quality starts and brought OPS back? You make it another 6x6 league. Now, I like then because I was a little concerned with K through nine just tilting it in way too far in favor of starting pitchers, right? And like elite starting pitching. That's your, to be fair, when TJ starts agreeing with something, I'm like, why is TJ agreeing with this? It's oh, because he has schemes. And I'm like, that now I'm worried that's a five category dude for no fucking reason. Okay,
but I do like the K through nines because it does, because you should be rewarded for having a top guy, whether you get him through a draft or you're trading for him. Like, obviously, that means pitchers, like, or like those firemen relievers who go 3-4 innings. Yeah. And even I think the Dodgers are doing it now. The Rays obviously do it too, who do spot starts. Like, those guys have value. So I think that we need to figure it out. And we need to figure it out at the draft because I think we all agree that net win sucks. But the problem is we don't have a solve and we don't have a good option within Yahoo, I think. But Joe was the one who pointed it out to me. He sent me a screenshot of net wins isn't on this list either. How the hell are we doing it? So we have to figure. And the other thing is we should probably have in hitting too. So I
misspoke. It wasn't quality start. It was changing net wins to just straight wins, right? So you do K through nine with straight wins again. We had some issues with straight wins before and people just trying to stream it and not being punished at all for streaming guys because the loss didn't bother you really. Because you're probably, if you're streaming at that point, you don't give a fuck about ERA and whip anyways, right? But what do you think, Joe? Out of all that information being thrown at you now, do you like any of those more?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I just get rid of net wins, I think is really the bottom line. And it's funny, but it's also like just dead serious. I said to you guys in the text, I said the goal of the categories in aggregate is always to simulate good baseball, in my opinion.
Right.
And I think that's – and I think net wins is not good baseball. I think that's the bottom line. And I think you guys are there too. And I think we'll figure something out. And also I appreciated – I told Forrest on another text, I was like, I came in hot and I got to hand it to Johnny. You're open to listening to potential change. And that's awesome because a lot of people aren't that way.
My main goal is, like you hear about these bad commissioners that are like, I am the law enforced.
Right.
Of anyone is you need to be the law more often. I'm like, but the goal here is for everyone to enjoy themselves. And if someone's passionately upset about something, let's hear it. Let's talk through it like adults and find a solution. Like, I'm in your boat. The reason quality starts got killed is I don't think going six innings and giving up three runs and having an ERA of 4.5 is quality. Like the stat is misleading. It's a bad stat. And we got rid of it. And net wins, to your point, was a bad solution. Keep it simple, stupid was something I've been going with. Let's just kill it and go to nine categories. It devalues pitchers. But if we don't have a fifth category there that fits, it's what it is. Because the hitting categories are misleading. It's very rare to find a five-tool guy there. You probably have a two-tool or three-tool guy. It's not like I'm valuing hitters. No, I've got Abrams, who's great at runs, bases, and average, but he does shit for me in RBIs and homers, right? He's the same thing as a starting pitcher then. It doesn't necessarily overvalue the hitters, but that's good stuff, Joe.
Yeah, and the game changes too, right? Basically from 2012 to a year or two ago, right, when baseball became three true outcomes, it was almost comical to have stolen bases as a category.
Right.
Because baseball wasn't stealing bases. Mm-hmm. People weren't doing that.
There were matchups you'd win 2-1. Just luck that someone went. Right.
So, things change, and you guys are open to change, which I think is just another strength of this league. Yeah.
It wasn't that way. The reason we're called the Purge is we had to purge a bit to get to a point where it was like, this league is going to be more about change, but with the rule of we're going to change every 2 years. We're going to let things play out. We're going to see how it plays out. Not just because we were changing a little bit too much in the past where you would never know if that change was good or bad. we can go back to the PPR years where that was a big debate about imaginary points for catching the ball. But anyways, this was great, Joe. It's great to meet you, man. Very much looking forward to you being a part of this league and adding your experience to our brand. So it was awesome.
Yeah, Johnny, TJ, you guys are the best. Thank you so much.